Healy was a young man I knew in grammar school. And I've lived in Claremont, too, for a number of years after, while my mother was still living there. Mm-hmm. That was home base for me until about 19. Well, doesn't make any difference. Anyway, Dale had, as I said, gone back to Harvard Law School, graduated, and went to the firm in Boston, and had a health breakdown, nervous or whatnot, I don't know, but came back to Claremont. And when he came back, he was rather a little better than the rest of us, you know, and rather looked down on us somewhat and let us know that he was a superior type. And I said to myself, well, if that slob can go through Harvard Law School, I can go back there and swing in a hammock and brush the flies off myself while it's going on. And so I wrote a letter to, addressed it to the dean of Harvard Law, and asked him if I could come on back. And he said, yeah, come on along. And I went back there, and I've had, my last years at Dartmouth, I'd been, some of the nonsense had been knocked out of me, and I got honored grades without much work because I wanted unlimited cuts. So I didn't even know I was on the honor list until Mother Faith pointed it out to me when they put me in a separate group. My real reason was I wanted to get something better than 3.2, either that or a little higher, because that meant unlimited cuts. And the hell of it was that after I got the unlimited, so I never used them. I kept going to class every day. Well, I went back to Harvard Law School, and I was... I would say I had more experience knocked into me than most of them there. And I observed that their methods of study were, I had two people who were living in the same house I was, and they studied, but they studied with windows which faced onto Sargent School of Physical Education for Women, and I think they thought they were professors of that rather than students at Harvard. I was out feeding pigeons until 2 p.m. until I thought time to start studying. And as they had one examination at that time, just one examination at the end of the year, whether you stayed or failed. And one of the early classes I was in, I think, I don't know whether they still do it or not, but the professor said, gentlemen, there were no ladies at the time, will you please look to your right? And now, gentlemen, will you please look to your left? And then he said, now that you have completed that, please know that one of you will not be back. And that was true. They used to cut them about 50% at the end of the first year. At any rate, that's how I went back to law school. Because of Dale Healy, I thought if he could do it, I could do it sitting down. And I did, because I had learned how to study when I had to, and I am blessed with maybe a split personality or something, but my subconscious or whatever it is works for me. In other words, in class I would consciously say, remember that, a command, and then I'd forget, and it came back when the examination time came. Not names, not dates, but substance. I could never remember the name of a case. I remembered one, and I won't even repeat it for you. It was two Hindu partners had a breakup, and the name is about this long. I won't repeat it. It's nothing dull or anything, but I'm just not going to do it. I remembered cases by the material. It's like books. People like books for the art, or which is fine if they enjoy it, great. But I like a book for what's chiefly what's in it, rather than the cover. Now I squeezed that out of myself for you. That answered that question: how I went to Harvard Law School.
Well, then you went into practice for yourself.
After 5 years with O'Melveny's.
Mm-hmm. And did you specialize in?
No, you can't specialize as a sole practitioner. Impossible.
Okay.
But you do get an ability. You become a jack of all trades, and eventually it was hammered into my head that you are a jack of all trades, but you ought to have enough sense to become a momentary specialist for the precise case which is in front of you. And mm-hmm. you ask mm-hmm. yourself a question, do you know that? And the answer, if you have any sense, is no, I don't. Mm-hmm. Then the next question, how do you find out?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you go and find. And that's where Harvard really came in. You learn to do research. And to do research in the law, you have to know how people who are classifying cases index them. In other words, mm-hmm. you have to get the theory of the indexing and to know the key words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that, as a sole practitioner, it means that you have the knowledge available and you can get it. And the only thing that saved my bacon or preserved it was that I wasn't afraid to say no. When I ask myself the question, do you know? And the answer is, no, you don't. And that goes for every question, like questions in religion, philosophy, everything else. I start out with no, and I remain eventually. I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I can at least ease the pain by making an effort.
Where were your office then, in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I had a little rat hole down by myself, and I was a... See, when I was with Earl Melanie, I was on the, about the fifth floor of the Title Insurance and Trust building. I moved up to the sixth floor and was a tenant of John A. Graham, attorney. And I purchased a room about maybe 8 by 10 or something like that, and a desk, and part-time was secretary, who, by the way, was eventually became my secretary for many, many years. And apparently they thought well enough of me at O'Melveny so that they fed their garbage to me, stuff like divorces or petty criminal stuff that they couldn't use. And it's not that they weren't capable. It's the thing I ran away from, of being a specialist. In other words, you had to be a small cog in a big machine mm-hmm. and a very sharp cog.
Mm-hmm.
Or you had to get out and do it yourself. And I figured the life I wanted was to, I'd rather be a big frog in a tiny puddle than a real sharp frog. And it works either way, whatever you're fitted for. And my thought was that give yourself at least a chance. If you fail at it, you can always hire out again as somebody else's footstool or whatever. Now you trap me or I trap myself, I guess. I'm easy to trap.
Well, then I'll ask you one other personal thing then. Where did you meet Mrs. Smith, and when were you married?
Well, I met her because my brother married her sister. They both graduated from Pomona College, and I met her. Also, my brother was Llewellyn Smith was going to Harvard Business School, and his last year there was my first year in the law school. My brother Bradford attended Harvard Business School, and my brother Roger attended law. And also, speaking of Sarah, there's someone not mentioned in there at all was Philip. Philip Bixby Smith, who was my mother's something, I think, when she about fourth child, died of in Claremont. It had what they called a blue baby, then a bum heart valves or whatever it was. That they can patch it up sometimes nowadays, but not then. Also that happened to my cousin Llewellyn and Avis. There was a blue birth or something mm-hmm. like that there. Mm-hmm. They're not mentioned in it. We're getting pretty intimate on this. But if you want to pry stuff on me, it's there, I guess.
Well, when were you and Mrs. Smith married?
Well, we were married August. 24, 1934. I laugh because I refer to that as rent day. That's why I remember it, and that's the day we paid the rent in the first apartment we had together. That was rent day. We got married on rent.
Was that in Los Angeles? Have you always lived here?
No, yes, that was Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Yeah, after I came back here, this was that time my style of life changed completely. From what it was before. When I was talking about being back at law school, I met her then. She came back to, she went to school in Boston, a girls' school just outside of Boston. And I remember we went to see one of the football games, and she was there. She was about this tall and skinny as she could be, and looked like a starved weasel.
She probably doesn't like that description.
No, she doesn't. She thinks it's, well, I don't know, she doesn't mind it too much. But at any rate, I got too drunk to attend a Thanksgiving dinner or something like that. But that, I think that was about the first time I met her. But then she grew up and became a very fine lady, in my opinion. And we eventually married at August 24, 1934. We got a golden one coming along this year, mm-hmm. if it lasts that long.
Mm-hmm. Was it... I didn't stop to think, when you say 1934, that's the Depression. Was it a difficult time to be in practice for yourself?
Of course not, because I'd been in depression before that. For the, mm-hmm. all that period, I'd been messing around and taking care of, myself. And I had the experience to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had figured out that I would do what pleased me.
Mm-hmm.
And that you couldn't lose by crying. You had nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see what happens to me when I get to talking about myself. I have a physical nervous breakdown, actually. To start going... No, it's true. No, I'm not fooling you.
Well, then maybe one...
If you want to change this, go on. You'll find that for a while I'll change back.
Well, I think
when you get talking about me, it's very disturbing to me, really. And I don't know why, but it is, and I hate it, actually, because I get to just going on as I am right this very instant, and I don't like it.
Okay. Well, I'm sort of running out of things, but maybe would you have any comments about? Well, we're interested, of course, in Long Beach, since this is...
Sure, you don't care about Concord, Massachusetts, or Cambridge at all.
No,
I'm
not. I'm a student of United States history, so that's interesting. You really weren't associated directly that much with Long Beach, but you certainly have seen it change over the years.
Yes, I've been down there, and... playing in the surf when there was nothing on the beach other than where the Alamitos Bay comes in. There used to be a pile of rocks or sand or something,
mm-hmm.
there, and you could go clear on around to practically the Palos Verdes on the beach, or where Terminal
mm-hmm.
Island is.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it was all beautiful beach,
mm-hmm.
nothing between it and Japan or China. Except water.
Mm-hmm.
I played in the surf there, and got some nice tans. And I used to go down and visit Aunt Martha, who had moved to Long Beach at that time. When she died, why, the house stayed in the family because my brother Llewellyn and his wife Catherine would go down and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it change from a beautiful, sparsely populated beach. It did have the fun zone there.
Mm-hmm.
The old bathhouse,
mm-hmm.
that ran directly, is about from the door to the bathhouse, you just ran right out onto the beach.
Mm.
Now it's got much difference. You can tell that from the picture. But I observed that, and I was well acquainted with the old Bixby House, which is across the street from Bixby Park.
Mm-hmm.
They used
mm-hmm.
to call that the House of the Gold Doorknobs. Thank you.